One day a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the scorn. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance it filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb, broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my most precious treasure, lavished on thee, broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet in sweet abandon. Let me be spilled out and use them for thee. Lord, you are God's precious treasure, his love and his own perfect Son, sent here to show me the love of the Father. Just for love it was done. And though you were perfect and holy, you gave up yourself willingly. You spared no expense for my pardon. You were used up and wasted for me, broken and spilled out, just for love of me, Jesus, God's most precious treasure, lavished on me.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother and Mrs. and Miss Green. That was a blessing. Open your Bibles tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I enjoyed the camp presentation program tonight. I always have enjoyed camp, And I always enjoy getting to go now for just a day and a couple of services, but it's always very special. I love to see what God will do in the hearts and lives of young people who will open their heart and their spirit to Him. God's still alive, He's still at work, and He'll still do something beyond anything we can ever think or imagine or even ask if a heart is willing to yield itself to Him. If you found your place in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we will begin to read in verse number 13. I want to speak tonight on this subject, and I want to challenge our young people, especially tonight, as well as moms and dads, church members. And here's the title of my message: One Person Can Make a Difference. One person. Now, young people like to hang out in groups. They have this little group, that little group, but too often it's the wrong group. And all it takes is one young person that'll stand up for God and open their heart to God and their spirit to God to start influencing other young people for God. On the other hand, one young person with a wrong spirit and a wrong heart can pollute an entire youth department. One person can make a difference. The Bible says, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not feared. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." You notice Solomon is writing in contrast. He's writing about the wise man. He's writing about the fool. And he lets us know in his summary of this in verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. The king had weapons of war. He had soldiers, an army. The poor wise man used wisdom and delivered the city. It says wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One person can make a difference. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message to be a challenge to every teenager here and every parent of teenagers, every individual on this Sunday night. May we open our heart to You and to the Word of God and determine to be that one person that's going to make a difference for God. Make a difference in our family, make a difference in our church, make a difference in a Sunday school class or a youth department. One person can make a difference on a bus route or in the choir. God help us not to be satisfied to coast alone with good when we can have the best. God help us not to be satisfied with just a good youth department when we can have a spiritual youth department. Help us not to be satisfied when we just to have a good marriage or a good home when we can have a great marriage and a great home and a spiritual home. But somebody has got to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Use me to make a difference. Help us to understand that the difference we make will not be, if it's good, will not be made with talents or money or sports or coercion or intimidation. The good difference that we can make will be made when we learn to live according to the wisdom of the principles of God's Word. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Solomon, the preacher, is teaching us that in our pursuit of the chief good in life, it's essential that we attain wisdom. Now, I'm not talking about becoming streetwise. That's worldly wisdom. There's too much of that around today, too much of it in our churches, too much of it in our homes, and too much in our youth department. The wisdom Solomon is talking about is seeing and understanding things from God's point of view. That's what wisdom is. Seeing and understanding things from God's point of view. In verse 11, Solomon lets us know that of this chapter, the race is not always to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise. Neither is riches always to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. Solomon wants us to understand that these things that we put so much physical importance on is not the main thing that we need in life. God wants us to understand that if we're going to have His blessing and His favor on our life, then it's not how popular we are, how wealthy we are, how talented we are, but just how much do we live according to the wisdom of the principles and teachings of God's Word. Solomon also lets us know in verse 11 that some people benefit just because they're in the right place at the right time. And by the way, I want to say again, 85% of being successful in anything is being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. God's not going to meet with you when you're not where you're supposed to be. If you're going to have God's blessing and God's favor, then you need to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, God would have us to do right and to understand that behind everything that's going on for those that are trying to live for God, the providence of God is working for us. You do understand that you're not alone in your journey of life if you're a child of God. I love the study of the providence of God. The providence of God works for His children. All the time, Joseph was being lied about and imprisoned and treated terribly by the world. He kept a right spirit and he kept doing right, and the providence of God was working behind the scenes for Joseph's good and for God's glory and for the salvation of his family and his nation. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13, we're told that wisdom excels folly as much as light excels darkness. Solomon is saying, hey, child of God, get wisdom. Get wisdom. The world is filled with fools. And fools act foolishly. By the way, there's fools in churches and in youth departments. And fools act foolishly. Let me encourage you to desire wisdom and strive for wisdom, whether you be a teenager or an adult. Now, there's two ways you can get wisdom. You can get wisdom through living. But by the time you get wisdom through just living and human experience, you're too old to use it. You've waited too long. The kind of wisdom we need and the kind of wisdom that's available to us right now, teenager or adult, is God's wisdom. Where do we get this kind of wisdom? God's not wanting us to be streetwise, but He wants us to be God-wise. The wisdom we need for life cannot be obtained from a college classroom or off the streets. Young people can have this wisdom now. You don't have to wait until you're 50 or 60. You don't have to wait until you failed 45 times. You can have God's wisdom now. You say, where do I get it? Ask God for it. It comes from God. But let me tell you, you've already got it. You're just not taking advantage of it. God is not going to audibly speak from heaven and say, hey, Joe, listen up, I'm about to give you some wisdom. That's not the way He does it. He's already given us wisdom. He's already put it down in a book. He's written it. Here is the mind of God and the heart of God and the principles of God. This book deals with everything we'll ever face in life, either by direct statement or by principle. Learn the principles and the teachings of the Word of God and then practice them. Live by them. Oh, Brother Smith, we thank God for your wisdom. Hey, it's not Brother Smith, it's the book. It's the book. Spend time in the book. You can have it. It's not restricted just to old preachers. You can have wisdom. 14, 13, 15-year-old teenagers, you don't have to play the fool. You don't have to practice what you learn on the street. You can live in such a way that the God of heaven will look down on your life and favor you, bless you, be pleased with you. Joseph was just a teenager when he was sold into bondage. Just a teenager. And yet he lived according to the wisdom of God, the principles of God's revealed word. And God blessed him even though the world treated him awful. Even though he was misrepresented and lied about and imprisoned, God said, I know the truth. This man has been living by principle. And when God got through with him, He promoted him to the second place of leadership in all of Egypt. And He saved two nations. He saved Egypt and He saved Israel. Started out just a wise teenager, not a wise aleck, one who lived by the wisdom of God. Now we need divine wisdom and godly understanding, and we can have it. It's right here. Do you know what the Bible teaches about certain subjects? How about lying, honesty, lust, immorality, on and on and honesty in business, marriage, courtship, how a man should treat a young lady, or a young lady, a young man, or how do you treat your parents? Or how should parents lead and train their children? All of this is dealt with in the Word of God, and the people who practice it are looked upon as wise. And the people who don't are looked upon as fools. We need this wisdom. James said, ask God for it. He wants to give it to His children. He said in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. And by the way, He's given it. It's right here. He'll help you understand it. You'll get in the Word of God and begin to read it. By the way, you say, well, I can't understand it. First of all, the Bible, this King James Bible, is written in a sixth grade or lower level. So I wouldn't go around telling everybody I can't understand the Bible. It's not saying much for you. Secondly, you need to be saved to understand the Bible. And if you don't understand the Word of God and run around telling people about it, you're probably telling them, I don't understand it. Because the one who gives light and life does not live within me. James 1:6 tells us we're to ask God for wisdom. Have you ever asked God to teach you? You know, we're better at telling God than asking God. But God tells us we're to ask Him, and we're to ask Him by faith, without wavering. And verse number 8 of that same chapter says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, I said the above to drive home this point tonight in our text. One person with godly wisdom can make a difference for God. You can make a difference in your home. You can make a difference in your marriage. Hey, you know why your marriage isn't what it ought to be, sir? Maybe you're not treating your wife and leading your wife according to biblical principles. God, who made a woman and designed marriage, knows what affects them for good if we'd learn to practice godly wisdom. Hey, it may be the major problem at home with our children is that mama and daddy are more foolish than they are wise. And we're trying to raise them by Dr. Spock instead of God's wisdom and God's Word. One person can make a difference for God. One person with godly wisdom can make a difference, and one person without wisdom can make a difference for the devil also. You can destroy your children if you use the wisdom of the world in dealing with them. I can't tell you how many children I know that have no respect for anybody in authority, because every time someone in authority over them corrects them, mother and daddy takes up for that child and puts down the person in authority. You know, that's not acting with wisdom. That's dumber than a rock. That's playing a fool. That's dumber than a mud fence. You're saying to your children, I want to wreck your life so you'll have no future. And notice first the Bible illustration from our text. A little city was attacked by a great king and a mighty army. And this king besieged the little city and built an attack strategy that the city could not defend itself against. But in verse 15, in that city was one poor wise man. Poor wise man. And by his wisdom, he delivered the city from the mighty king and his army. one man poor but wise made a difference for this city. His wisdom was better than the strength of the mighty king and his army. This poor wise man did not have F-16s nor laser-guided bombs. He didn't have M1 tanks. He didn't have the stealth bombers. He had something more powerful: godly wisdom. And he delivered his city by using his head, not wealth, or not an army. Though the world seldom remembers men for their wisdom, they'll remember sporting events and wealth, men of wealth and men of great sin, or great talent, or some of these rock stars with no talent. They'll remember them. But how quickly we find it easy to forget men of great wisdom. But God remembers those who make a difference because they used His wisdom. I wish we could get a hold of this. The answer to our problems is in this book. God's already given it to us. But we don't study it. We don't read it. And if we do read it, we forget it and never use it. The Bible is not just a good luck charm that we carry around or something that's fun reading for entertainment. It's the mind of God and the heart of God and the will of God for His people, giving us instruction in how to act and how to deal with things in every situation of life. What I'm trying to teach you from God's Word and how tried to teach you about godliness and morality and honesty and purity and wisdom has been hated down through the years by some and forgotten by the fools. I wish I could tell you differently, but our children today are like the children of all ages. They're born into this world foolish. They don't have this wisdom. They must be taught. They must seek after wisdom. They must have a proper example of parents who are wise and pastors who are wise and youth workers who are wise, teachers who are wise. Otherwise, they'll play the fool over and over again. Somewhere they've got to get a hold of God's Word and put it in here and let it show itself as we practice day by day the teachings and the principles of God's Word. As adults, we must seek wisdom. It's hard to teach our children what we don't have. Number one rule for a preacher and preaching the Word of God: you can't make plain to others what's not plain to you. And you can't make plain to your children truth that you're not living by and not practicing. They know the difference. They know the difference between big talk and little do. They know the difference between talking it but not living it. That's the reason we've got a bunch of children today that really know how to talk the book and talk spiritually, but they act foolishly. They're playing the fool. And if we're going to get wisdom, it needs to begin with mom and dad, with adults. We're not born with it. Have you ever asked God for it? Where'd Solomon get it? He asked God for it, and God gave it to him, and then blessed him beyond our wildest imagination because he sought wisdom instead of power or fame or fortune. Ask God for it. seek it from God's Word, then learn to live it and act by wisdom's precepts, or we too will just declare to the world that we're fools. Too often our children learn the way of a fool and how to act foolishly by watching us. We also need to understand that God tells us in His Word that foolishness is bound up in a child. It's in them, and it's got to be driven out of them. But let me tell you, the Bible says the rod of correction is driven out with the rod of correction. Now, I'm not against that. Neither was my daddy and mama against it. I'm not against it. I think it's not used wisely and enough today. I like that message Brother Todd preached this morning. Brother Todd, my mama and daddy didn't have a timeout either. They didn't say, "I'm going to ground you. I'll withhold your allowance." What was an allowance? Foolishness is bound up in a child. And their only hope to get wisdom and to save a lot of heartache and a lot of wasted years is for mama and daddy to get it first and start practicing it and teaching it in the home. Apples don't fall far from the tree. You don't know what kind of spirit your children have. For the most part, same kind you have. You know what kind of talk they've got? For the most part, same kind of talk the parents have. "Well, I don't understand why my children are acting this way." Go and look in the mirror. It sure would help if parents would say, "Oh God, give me this wisdom. I want to learn how to live as a Christian and be a Christian parent and raise my children that would in such a way that will honor You and glorify God." You're not going to learn that out of a Hollywood magazine or a sports magazine. It's in the book. You'd be surprised how much wisdom you can get just coming to church and listening instead of texting. Be surprised how much wisdom you can come and get from a Sunday school lesson if we'll listen. And by the way, ask God to open our hearts so we can learn. You ever ask God, "Lord, teach me something new today when I go to church"? Or do you go with the attitude, "Well, it's just same old, same old. Same old songbook, same old choir, same old preacher, same old invitation, and the same old fool listening"? It would be amazing to us what God would do if we'd say, "Oh God, give me wisdom, teach me wisdom, help me learn something when the preacher preaches or the teacher teaches or the choir sings. Dear goodness, there's Bible in these songs." A special, broken and spilled out. Oh, you can learn something from the songs and the message and the meaning of them. If we're going to make a difference in our home, then we're not going to get that difference making from the world. And our children aren't going to bring the difference with their foolishness. You know, one of our problems is we tell our children how cute their foolishness is. And so they say, "Man, that's good. I'll do it again." You know, they throw their little temper tantrum And you say, isn't that cute? Reckon God's saying it's cute? I want to tell you what God doesn't like more than their temper tantrum. God doesn't like the parent thinking it's cute. Just if we're going to give our children an opportunity to make a difference, then we've got to make a difference by teaching them wisdom and not condone or look the other way at their foolish behavior. The one place that we can make a difference is in our own children, our own home, and we must. Some of you bring them to the school and want the school to make the difference for you. It's not the school's responsibility. Do your job, parenting. We're to support you as a parent if you're doing it right. But we can't replace you. And the biggest problems we have in the school are some of your children that's listened to your music and your habits. And they come to school and they act like you act. And they get in trouble for it. Isn't this good? I want to make a difference. If you should leave this world today, would you have made a difference at all, anywhere, or with anybody? If we're going to make a difference, we've got to have a purpose for our life. Not just drift through life, roll with the flow. We've got too many big Christians. Or Whataburger Christians, they want it their way. Get a purpose. Get a cause. Live to make a difference for good and for God in some area of your life. Perhaps start with your own relationship with God. Nobody can make a difference for you in your relationship with God but you. Somewhere it's got to begin with a surrender and a commitment. And by the way, surrender is the channel through which God's blessings and favor and power comes. You make a difference in your marriage. You come to myself or Brother Laster or other counselors for counsel, wanting us to make a difference in your marriage. But the truth is, I can't make a difference in your marriage, but you can. I can teach you what God's Word says, but most of you come and you don't want God's Word. You want me to join your side. That's not wisdom. You can make a difference in your marriage if you'd learn to practice biblical principles in it. You can make a difference with your children, but you're going to have to learn to practice the principles of God, the wisdom of God. Make a difference. Get a call. Hey, take a Sunday school class and make a difference. Make a difference in your adult Sunday school group. Live to make a difference. Be a preacher or a deacon, a servant, and live to make a difference. If you can't make a big difference, then make a little difference in a big way. Do something to make a difference. Become a faithful church member and live to make a difference. This August, I will be a Christian for 56 years and will be in the full-time ministry 46 years. When I leave this world, and I stand before Almighty God, I intend for somebody to be able to say that Bob Smith made a difference in their life or their home or their church. Oh, that we might make a difference. Let me ask you, what and where are you trying to make a difference for God in this life? Is anyone helped for good and for God because of you? Is your youth department better because of you? Are you a millstone pulling it down? Are you the cancer that eats at its heart and its soul? Are you making a difference? Let me tell you this also. All of the rewards of living to make a difference are not always enjoyed in this life. Now, some are. But I'm here to tell you what awaits those in heaven that have lived their life by God's word and have tried to make a difference. What's waiting on them is beyond anything they've ever thought or dreamed or imagined. Oh my, the reward of it. But there's reward here. As you decide or dedicate yourself to God to make a difference, your work may go unnoticed here. But God sure notices it. Be sure of that. You may even be hated or despised or made fun of by some fools as you try to make a difference for God. You may not be the most popular person in your youth department as you try to live by godly wisdom and make a difference. But God notices those that do live for Him and those that don't. God keeps the record of those that play the fool and mock those that are trying to live for God. And there is a payday coming. Our payday is not only down here. Yes, we'll draw interest here on our heavenly dividends. But be sure that our greater treasure's in heaven waiting on us when we get there. Any reward enjoyed by God's children here in this life is only temporal, but the rewards reserved for us in heaven are eternal and can't be taken away or stolen from us. Got a letter from one of our missionaries in Brazil. He has broken into last week and robbed in his home for the fourth time in a month. Two of those times they were at home. They took most everything they could take at gunpoint. But oh, what's laid up in heaven. When you learn to live by godly wisdom, you obey God, the treasures and the blessings you enjoy here may be taken from you by someone else, but not that which is in heaven. And then, let me say in conclusion, somewhere, God's people, if you're ever going to make a difference, must determine to live to make a difference. You know, I didn't accidentally grow into becoming a preacher. There was a day I knelt at an altar and said, God, I hear your call and I give you my life. I surrender to your will for my life to preach the gospel. Quit my job 2 weeks later and been full-time in the gospel ministry ever since. I thought that's the way you're supposed to do it. Nobody told me differently. But I thank God blessed me because though I didn't know any better, I decided to do it for God and get busy then. Somewhere there's got to be... Hey, you don't grow into marriage. Oh, they're trying to do that now. They live together for 6 years and decide to go before a judge or a preacher, deciding they need to get married. Well, they needed 6 years ago. That's not the way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to have a friendship, a courtship, and marriage. Then live together. You don't try everything out and then get married. Okay? Somewhere in our life, we've got to realize we don't just ooze into wisdom. We don't drift into it. Somewhere we've got to decide, Lord, I'm going to learn how to live by your book. I'm going to learn how to live by godly principles of wisdom. And I'm going to start now. We've got to determine to do that. Have you? Have you? You come to church for entertainment? You come to church just for what? It ought to be to learn. To learn wisdom so we can practice godly wisdom as parents, as husbands, wives, as businessmen and women, as Christians, as neighbors, as friends, as witnesses. But it's got to start somewhere. Somewhere we've got to decide to step out of the lineup of fools and say, God, here am I. I want this wisdom. Because if you don't have wisdom, then what do you have? Foolishness. If we're not living by principles of godly wisdom, then we're playing what? It's not complicated, folks. And somewhere, we've got to step out and say, this is it. This is it. Some of you young people, there's been people this week praying for you by name. Because they have been witnesses of the foolishness bound up in your heart. They have been witnesses of the fact that there's no light or love shining from within. There's no joy. And all of that's probably true is because there may not be Jesus in here. People's been praying for you by name. Do you care? Does it bother? Some of our young people got it this week. Some of them got it. The greater portion of them got hold of it this week. Did you? Or did you go a fool and come back a fool? Determine. I'm going to be that young person that gets wisdom. I'm going to pay the price to get it. I'm going to ask God for it. I'm going to study God's Word to obtain it. And I'm going to begin to live by godly wisdom. I want to make a difference. And by the way, parents, determine and desire to make a difference in your children. It would help them to make a difference if you began to make a difference for God. You say, but I've tried that, and it hadn't worked with all my children. Well, all's not lost if you've made a difference in one of their lives. No matter where you've been or what you've done up to this point in your life, determine that you're going to begin now to live to make a difference. I'm going to make a difference in my marriage from this day forward. I'm going to make a difference in my home. I'm going to make a difference with my children. I'm going to make a difference for God. I'm going to make a difference in my youth department. I'm going to make a difference with my friends. I'm going to make a difference for God in my church. But I'm going to begin now to be that Christian like this poor wise man that made a difference. Who knows how many lives and homes and futures can be saved when we determine to be that one wise man or woman, boy or girl, that's going to live by Bible principles, making a difference. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to begin sometime. It ought to be now. If it hasn't already begun in your heart and life, it ought to be now. Father, that's our message. Lord, how we need you. How can we, as your children, be content just to live life according to the rules of the world, lose our children and lose our marriages and lose our families? lose our futures. Speak to our hearts tonight. Now, I know, God, you've given us some great Christian people, some people who are striving to live by your book. But all of us need help at times. And all of us need to be challenged at times. And there comes a time when every person has got to be challenged to make this the day when I start to, in my beginning. I make the beginning of living for you and living by Bible principles and not just by popularity and flesh and wants and feelings. Speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you for what you've done in the hearts and lives of many of our young people. Thank you for those that have determined tonight to make a difference. Lord, some of the testimonies of our young men and our young ladies bless this preacher's heart because they said, I'm going to begin to make a difference.